The fifth behemoth never revealed itself, but as dusk fell, she came to understand the commotion from down the valley. More bellows and calls had echoed around, and a few of the giants had wandered up the path, though none came close to her crevice. In the deep twilight, she could see rippling orange, most certainly not caused by the sun, settling on the other side of the mountains. Apparently, she was enough of a prize to set up camp for. Bad sign. If they didn't find her soon, that might mean ongoing hunts, pursuing her into the next day, or longer. She didn't know them well enough to guess at their tenacity. A scream of pain, and a few words that sounded like curses rent through her calm. That was different. None had crossed her limited line of vision down, and it seemed she was as safe as she was going to be, at least for a quick glance. Carefully bracing her claws into the rock and leaning out, she slowly peered around her safe vantage. Nothing immediate, but there were definitely a few tents set up at the mouth of the valley, along with a massive bonfire. Among this new encampment, there were at least 20 of the giants, all spread out in a loose ring. A few more were standing guard, most looking up the valley, much to her chagrin. In the ring there were two, one massive even amongst its kin, the other smaller, but still a terrifying sight. That smaller one seemed to be the source of the pained commentary, as it clutched at a portion of its head. Even from this distance, many yards away, the contest was clear. Ducking back, she took a moment to shift her hood to wake Wur. Time to move. Ducking back to ensure the letters wouldn't protrude from the hole, she pulled at the shadows to respond. I think so. They're in some kind of contest or fight. From the sound, it just started. If we wait until it gets heated, we should be able to slip down and get into the brush on the far side. Hopefully, they don't have great night vision. Agreed. A moment, and I will get some information. She heard him rustling and muttering in his wispy language, the soft whistles and snorts sounding aloud as he searched for something. Having found what he needed, she heard more whispered incantations. Trying to block his form as much as she could, she was glad to see that at least this iteration of his spellcasting didn't involve glowing bright blue. Sure, it looked cool, but it was really obvious. A pause. They are conducting a rite of possible succession. What? The little one is challenging the big one for the right to rule. Give it a few. The chants are getting more subdued. I think they are circling. Right. Just tell me when to go, and we go. Just no damn letters in my vision. Clearly, whatever magic that allowed him to understand their language wasn't stopping him from blocking out half her vision with his words. Quiet, sure, but it was a little weird just having sentences pop up out of nowhere. It didn't help that he was resettling on her shoulder and tapping his foot, as impatient as she was to be on the move. That foot stopped as a yell rent the air, a different, deeper voice, followed by hushed gasps. Not yet. Something unexpected, I guess. Carefully leaning forward as the words vanished, she peered out just enough to assess her first steps. The bushes and small trees wouldn't be great cover, but she could crouch and scramble easily enough, keeping below the behemoth's line of sight. Really, the only major threats were that first jump and the stream bed, that open sand, roughly a straight line towards the camp, easy to see down. Leaning back in, she calmed herself and called up a shroud from the darkness, wrapping it around her and the quith. Hardly invisible, they would be hopefully harder to see, and her passing would vanish behind her, keeping her pursuers at bay if she was noticed. A risk now. It wouldn't have helped much in the bright light of day, but it was the best she had. And it wasn't like she wanted to risk hiding another day, not if they got curious and started really exploring the valley. A roar from the collected group, and she braced, ready to bolt. Hold, 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 now! Flinging herself out, she reflected on the unnecessary exclamation point as her feet hit soft, dusty soil. Crouching low, tail out for balance, she found the plant life was a bit taller than she had expected, allowing her a crouched run. She was to the stream bed in a matter of moments, the shadows rippling in the dust all around her, removing any trace of passage. Carefully leaning out, she glanced up and down the stream, towards the camp. She could just make out a guard, but he was facing in now, watching the fray that was creating such a ruckus. Up the stream bed, she found her fifth opponent, the one with the spyglass, waiting in the bed and watching both hills. It was always annoying when one of your foes revealed a modicum of sense, and this one, with its two mouths in perfect parallel, eyes sandwiched in between, came across as annoyingly aware. Facing this way, she wasn't sure if the figure would be able to see in such low light, but crossing the sand meant revealing herself against the firelight, and had been bright enough to wait. Ready? Move in 5. Black block letters swirled out of the shadows in the sand, hard to read and hopefully unnoticeable. With that, the little quith took off, heading in a zigzag pattern roughly towards her watcher. What he planned, she wasn't sure, but whatever echoed over clearly got the fifth's attention as its head whipped around and it started moving back up the canyon. A quick glance to ensure the guard was distracted, and she bolted out, over the sandy banks and into the brush, shadows rippling around her, swirling footprints into the ripples of old water, long dried. Within a few minutes, and a quick climb up a few rocks, she found herself over the ridge and crossing a wider valley, with more real tree cover. Straightening as she kept running, a sudden cacophony of shouts and screams suggested something behind her had happened. What? She did not really care to find out. But hopefully, it was something that would keep them back there and not after her. Maybe 20 minutes later, she was across the valley and into a wide stretch of dry grassland. Be quite a way over to the next set of hills. Sighing softly, faint yelling still echoing over to her, she glanced about as her companion came buzzing back past her head. Her initial effort to disguise their passage was fading, and at this point, speed might be more expedient. Then again, if they could track, they might find her trail within a day or two, meaning it would be the same flight all over again. Hopefully, in a quiet enough space, she whispered over, "I can either hide a path a bit longer, or see where we're going, make a break for it. I don't have enough in me for both." Whir, having settled on her shoulder once more, was just visible in the moonlight, scratching his beak and chin thoughtfully. He weighed their options and took a sip of his little pouch of nectar. Apparently, he had conceded the point on hiding it from her. Another moment of consideration, then pure black letters swirled in front of her eyes. "Pull out the stick and let's go, as fast as you can." At first taking the suggestion as something of a bizarre innuendo, it took her a moment to realize he meant the walking stick. "I can run faster without the weird weight. Trust me, It's magic, It'll help, "You took the time to figure that out? And what it does?" "I get bored back here. sighing softly, as she pulled the staff from where she'd stashed it in her safe pouch, she began to jog, hoping he was right and this helped. As she traveled, she reached out to the shadows again and caressed them, smoothing the darkness into her eyes, until, for a brief second, she was blind. Then, in a rippling instant, the world around her became clear, in shades of black and gray. Far easier to run at full tilt when you could see where your feet were landing. Another hour, and she was across the open expanse, into more hills. A few more, and she found a place to rest for the day, the dark rocks hopefully hiding their presence in the light. This has been History's Kiss, Part 2 of The Fatal Neutrinos, stories of histories that weren't, futures that mustn't, and places that cannot be. Thank you for listening. I hope this made your day a bit more enjoyable and you're getting ready for the weekend. This is Easton. Remember, I'm as much of a work of fiction as anything you hear.